Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, we are back. Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. I am Dr. John Stamey, live from Studio B in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We've got a great show. All of the ScaryCasters, and I'm getting ready to introduce them in just a second, were at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference in Burnsville, North Carolina, and I don't believe I've ever had so much fun with a crazy group of really smart people. We had a great time. Well, first of all, she's the queen. The queen of ScaryCast, Robin McRae. How are you doing tonight, dear?
I am doing great. We had the best time. I am telling you what, I had more fun at that conference than I have had, and I cannot tell you how long.
We're so glad you did, and thank you very much. And the man with the science, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Dunaway. You were there too, and you were a very popular boy, Dr. Trey. How you doing?
I had a good time, John, and I was so glad we could all be there and get to see each other face to face rather than ear to ear.
Very well put. Yeah, no, it was fun, and so we are glad you're here tonight with us. And from a spooky city down there in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, where we're probably going to have to do a paranormal con before it's all over with, Chris Chastain. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Good evening, John. Doing great. My favorite night of the week. And just to echo everyone else, fantastic time at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. All that laughter, well, it was good for the soul.
And
Chris,
it was fun,
and
we worked. And we learned a lot, too. We really did. And
heck,
introducing
yeah.
tonight a brand new ScaryCaster from Parts Unknown, the proprietor of RadionicPower.com, where he sells radionic equipment, the one and only Dr. Brad Mulder. How are you doing tonight, Brad?
I cannot complain. I'm glad that I was invited to your nice little organization here. And speaking of organizations, as Groucho Marx would say, you know, he refuses to be a member of any organization that would have him. Well, you know, I've made an exception on this rule.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You're going to be an interesting addition, because I'll tell everybody what's so cool. We have three doctors, and they all have different doctorates. Dr. Trey Dunaway is a medical doctor from the University of Virginia. I am a doctor of education from North Carolina State University. And Dr. Brad Mulder is a real old-fashioned PhD from Albert Schweitzer University. So, Dr. Brad, we're glad to have you, and it's going to be fun, and you've got an interesting take on things like every one of us does. And so, and by the way, our ScaryCast panel that closed out the conference was the most fun, and I finally got to say, when Robin looked at me and said, "What's your answer, John?" I said, "I really don't know." I have no idea.
That's what you get with you when you're a doctor.
I mean, you know, I just looked and said, "I don't know," you know, and sometimes I don't. So anyway, first announcement. Okay, well, the first announcement is we had a blast at the Burnsville Town Center, where we had the one and only NC Bigfoot Festival. Second of all, I am here to officially announce The Flying Saucer Comic-Con, Burnsville Town Center, Burnsville, North Carolina, September 16th. It's going to be legendary. There is already more buzz about that than two beehives. Oh, God, that's such a bad dad joke. Sorry about that. But anyway, no,
I love that.
All right, get the hook and remove him.
That's exactly right. You know, the Flying Saucer Comic-Con, we're going to be talking about that. That is September 16th from 9 until 6 p.m. And it is sponsored by RadionicPower.com and by Paranormal Electronics. And we're going to have and lots more sponsors coming on board. The Burnsville Yancey County Chamber of Commerce is extremely excited about it. And I'm so glad that we, you know, when we do the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and we have the Rabun County Chamber of Commerce, they're excited about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. It's a landmark event in that county now. And I think that what we're going to be doing up there in Burnsville is we're going to have two landmark events. So, I mean, it's going to be great. Anyway, so those are the announcements. And now I am going to turn the show over to Robin because this guest is a good friend of Robin. Well, and she's a friend of Brad Mulder's. And so I'm going to turn it over to you, Robin, to get it started. Would you accept the baton?
Okay. This lady is, I find, very remarkable on so many different levels. Not only is she an extraordinary human being, but she's highly, highly intelligent, and she has some mad, mad skills when it comes to paranormal abilities. So because we're that kind of a show, I asked her to come on, and she was very gracious and said that she would. And she has got an amazing topic for tonight that I think is really going to hit home for a lot of people because there's so many ways that we can talk about it, and that's what we do best on this show. So everybody, please welcome Beth.
Hello. How is everyone tonight?
Hey, Beth.
Hey, welcome.
Hi. I'm very glad to be here. I think I'm one of the biggest fans of ScaryCast.
That's how we got Chris, too. See, we're bringing in the
exactly.
fan base is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, we gotta have you.
Okay. All right. I am Beth Ruthie, and I have a website called BethRuthie.com. And what I do is I actually can change a person's reality. But I want to know, what is reality?
I think that's a fascinating topic. She told me that, and I was, like, all excited. I'm like, oh, yes.
Who's going to start
first? Why don't you – no, you start first and kind of give us your take on it, and then we'll let everybody else, the panel, just kind of, like, pick at you and ask questions.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Reality is – the quality or state of being real. That's how it's defined in Webster's dictionary. But I don't think that's a very good definition.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either. No.
So I was wondering if any of you had some insight into this.
Okay, Dr. John first.
John?
I was going to say,
you're going first because you throw me to the wolves every week first, so you're going this time, big guy.
What reality is, because the reality we're in is a particular time stream of an infinite number of time streams that actually exist. And reality is, I believe, the signed and numbered time stream that you're in, and it can change. Changes frequently. So it's the time stream that you're in. Now that's, I guess, my generic answer, but I think it's based on my Mandela effect experiences and things like that. That's what I believe. It's the time stream that you're in. You can change them. They can change. My time stream can change in 5 seconds, but it's the time stream that you're in and the events associated with, and the placement of objects associated with that time stream. Okay.
Wow. Wow, that was good.
Thank you.
Continue around the table. Who's going next?
I guess I'll volunteer. All right.
Okay.
Well, I think the movie The Matrix probably described it best, especially the scene where you have this little bald-headed kid. He's sitting down next to a table, and he's holding a spoon in his hand, and the spoon just bends. He's just staring at it, and it bends. And, you know, Neo's looking at this kid, and, you know, and they have a little conversation, and the kid responds, "You just have to remember, there is no spoon." With that being said, I don't really know if reality really exists the way we think it does. I don't know if I mentioned it on this show or what have you, but reality has a frequency, and they calculated the frequency at approximately 22 trillion times a second. So it means it's on off, 22 trillion times a second. So in reality, if you look at it, half of your life, you physically do not exist. So, but are we aware of that? No, we're not. So where's this coming from? What is reality? And I think it's a per case basis. Whatever each individual thinks it is reality is that's what it is to them. That's my closing thoughts on that.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was. Like, I tell people all the time, every time, you know, like we do a conference or whatever, when you look out, like stand on your front porch and you look out, the reality that you see actually never existed to begin with. That is not the reality of the situation. That is not what's really there. That's what we've been programmed to believe is there. And then so you've got what is that reality that we're not seeing? Because the reality is more of what we're not seeing than what we are seeing. But then you have all these different dimensions and all these different planes and all these different states of being. So you have multiple realities. There's not just one, in my opinion.
Good. How do you see reality? Like, how do you personally see it? Like, planes or...
We got two more of our fine scary casters who have yet to respond, okay?
Okay. Sorry.
I can go next. So I'll take it from the doctor response down to the elementary response. So to me, reality is just it's the time and space that you're currently in, and whether it's a it's just an image or what you, as Robin was saying, what you think is your reality. It could be something completely different. It could be multiples that are overlapping with each other. I kind of think that maybe sometimes when, you know, people encounter ghosts or, you know, see people from, you know, centuries ago, that, you know, it's realities that are crossing. And that's just my little, like I said, elementary opinion. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Dr. Trey, could you guys weigh in?
I've got to say that I'm kind of a linear reality guy, but I am interested in knowing how you can change reality or how you can show different realities that might be simultaneous. I'm presuming realities can be parallel, but you can have two different realities simultaneously. The only example I know of reality changing is like when a politician sees something that nobody else can, or when Medicare decides how they're going to pay doctors in their reality, and then it's not anybody else's reality. So I guess that's kind of my explanation.
The reality to that is the checks in the mail, Trey, just to clarify.
Yeah. No. I know. And it's a lot less than you thought it should be, and everyone else thinks it's less than it should be, too. So, but that's just my personal take. So I am interested in understanding how you change reality for people without the use of hallucinogenics or drugs, I hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Is it okay for me to speak now?
This is Dr. John. I want to say one thing that we all, or most of us, saw some reality that doesn't exist. Being a golfer, Tiger Woods made a 30-foot downhill side hill putt that is unmakeable. They've gone back and they've looked at it. The putt is unmakeable. Yet he made it to tie Rocco Mediate and went to a playoff and won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And we all in the universe saw that happen, that he made an unmakeable putt. It's been shown that you can't get a putt to go slow enough to go in the hole from that exact location. Yet I knew the minute he stood over that putt, he was going to knock it in. I knew it was unmakeable because I played that hole. I played Torrey Pines a couple of times, and I knew it was an unmakeable putt. He wasn't going to make it. Sure enough, he did. So we saw reality get created in front of us that wasn't part of the norm. And that's one example. Sports is a good place for us to see where these realities get created that shouldn't exist. So we also see those. And I just wanted to say that. I've wanted to get that off my chest for 15 years. I got it off my chest.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth. Okay.
You're welcome.
Off to you.
And we all breathe a sigh of relief.
Should I take the first question first?
The question was from Trey, and he said, how do you go about changing someone's reality?
I change their paradigm. So if they're a very negative person, by repetition and by starting to use positive words, it replaces the negativity in the paradigm with positivity. It can also be done with a radionics machine. Uh-oh, that was a plug. And
plug away.
It can change by what? Go ahead.
No, I said plug away. You can always plug.
Oh, plug away. Okay. So what is a paradigm? A paradigm is a standard perspective or a set of ideas. So if you actually, by repetition, write, I am happy and grateful, blah, 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 and then you keep reading that, it's going to change you from a negative person to a positive person. And it worked on me. I was pretty bad shape. And a shaman was able to turn my life or my reality around.
Which I think is amazing.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't disagree with that. If you have a negative outlook, a lot of times it's negative. If you have a positive outlook, it can change. It can change how you interact with other people's realities. It's kind of like if John's saying, "I know Tiger Woods not going to make that shot. I know Tiger Woods not going to make that shot." But as soon as he says, it's not negative anymore. I'm positive. Tiger Woods not going to make that shot, and then he makes it because he was positive over the negative. Maybe not.
No,
oh, no.
It's,
I look at that.
That can be, I think.
I mean, I kind of look at that as the golfer's version of the 4-minute mile. It, you know, nobody thought it could be done until somebody did it.
Yeah.
And that changed everybody's reality.
Right.
Well, the impossible is always the possible. If you change the reality, you can make all the impossibilities possible.
Yeah. And just building on that, people used to think the world was flat. And now that
and
was
some
the reality.
Still do.
Yes. And,
with notable exceptions, some, most people don't. Mm. We've got someone to introduce you to at another meeting that can talk to you about that difference in reality. But I digress.
Yeah, and then we sick Trey on him.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to. It's a hard thing to define reality, and what I was saying is that people on Earth, their first reality was that the world was flat. I'm not saying whether I believe it or not. And nowadays, most people think the Earth is round. So that's a change in your reality over time.
Except for the 5,000 members of the Flat Earth Society.
Yes.
Let us all say prayers for them.
Ruthie, it's so funny you mentioned that because Brad Mulder and I just interviewed last week Mark Sargent, who's the head of the Flat Earth Society, and it was
saw the show.
It was just unbelievable. It's all else. Brad, do you agree? That's the word. It was unbelievable.
Yes, it was. I mean, he did make some points, but I know that people have what I consider sound counterpoints. And I think what would be the greatest show of all is to get two sides, the flat Earth side, the Earth or the round Earth side, get those two together and have them just kind of touch base. I know there's mutual points of agreement, but I like to see where that goes. And I know you and I have talked off the air about a couple experiments, so I think we'll either prove, disprove a lot of things other than just the shape of the Earth.
I think it depends on your perception, frankly. But, I mean, anyway, I can't wait. So we're going to get Mobius, and we're going to get Mark Sargent, you and me on a special edition, and we're going to let him go at it. Anyway, that's great.
Isn't that kind of like Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
I agree with you. Our reality is changed because what we were looking at that we thought was impossible is no longer impossible because somebody has actually done something that heretofore might be impossible. You know, in the field of medical science, who thought that you could take out a gallbladder as an outpatient? I mean, unheard of. But with advances in technology and instrumentation, that's commonplace. Or it used to be a mastectomy patient would be in the hospital for 3 days. And now it can almost, well, in some cases it is as an outpatient. It's just a progress. And that does change reality. And that changed people's perception of what's possible and not possible.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
So where's reality truly lie? Yeah. I mean, seriously, I keep going back to the Matrix. I think that was the handbook. I think that was basically soft disclosure of what exactly we're living in. And, what is reality? Is it just, I think as Mobius, one of the top characters in that movie, he said, what is reality? It's just simply, electrical impulses inside your brain, telling you that, what your eyes are seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling. But truly, we've been fooled before. Heck, you can look at an optical illusion on a page and get a different readout on that. It's different realities by the way you look at it. What is reality? Is it just our perception of what it is we're surrounded by? Or is it the actual, quote-unquote, knock on the desk, real? I mean, is this actually real, what we're experiencing? Or is this holographic?
I agree with that because there's been different things that I've encountered in the paranormal field. And you think that you're looking at it one way and it looks like an actual being. But then you turn around and you find out as it tries to move that it's in a holographic form. I mean, you want to watch your little head explode, take a look at something like that. And I think a lot of that stuff is. And I think when it comes to our reality, anyone's reality can be changed. And when it changes on one plane, it also changes it on other planes. You know, if you don't know how to do it, then you go to somebody such as Beth and you say, okay, help me with this because I'm not happy with the reality that I'm living in. So I think everybody has the capabilities to change or heighten or manage their own reality. You just sometimes may need a help as far as, you know, how do you tune it in to be able to do it, whether it's with the Radionix box, which is fabulous, or whether you go to Beth and, you know, get help that way, you still have the ability to change it. But I think a lot of people, when they look around them, because we have things programmed into our head by the powers that be, we don't realize that what we're seeing really isn't reality. It's just what we're told is supposed to be there. And so then when you start digging a little deeper, you find out not only is what you're looking at really not completely accurate, but you can also manipulate that reality and change it for your own benefit.
I have one question for Beth. Okay, Beth, just imagine I'm John. I'm just John Doe off the street, and I come to you. What exactly do you do, and how do you do it? Can you kind of give us an overview of what exactly your practice is?
Sure. I do mindset training, which is basically changing a person's reality. They would come to me if they needed change or something to change. And when they come to me, I first ask them, what is, you know, what are you, like an I am statement. I am pretty. I am smart in its simplest form. Or you can also write a self script, which is basically where you want reality to be in a year from now. Or it could be 6 months or 6 weeks. Does that answer your question?
Okay, but how? I mean, what is the method behind it? I mean, how are you – okay, I write down a statement that I'm going to be living in a certain location a year from now. Okay, what are you providing? What is it that you are giving your client to actually cross that bridge and make this a true reality? How do you do this? Or can you kind of give the audience an overview of how you do this?
It's basically based on repetition and study skills. So basically you have to get a strict form of study skills, and then it's based on repetition. Like every morning you would get up and you would say all of your I am statements. And then you would say your self script. And I have a quote from Joseph Murphy that I say every day. And that changes your paradigm, which is like your system of beliefs. So it goes, you can take you can replace the negativity of the paradigm with positivity, and then the person becomes a much, much better person, but they also have confidence to go out into the world, and like I give them confidence to do what makes them uncomfortable, put them in an uncomfortable situation and let them work their way through it. Good or no?
Yeah. I think I have a better understanding of what exactly it is.
You change reality also.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean.
With your radionics machine.
Yeah. It's a darnest thing, but, you know, it's just a tool. It's just a tool. I mean, what you're providing here is entirely different than what I provide. Well, you're providing tools also, but you're providing psychological and energetic tools to better a person's life. And I get that. I mean, I'm providing a physical thing that you could use in conjunction with what you're working with your clients. You can use it in conjunction with their development
mindset.
But you know, again, it's just a tool. But you know what you're doing, you're getting down the nitty gritty. You're dealing with the psychology of the person.
Not psychology, because I'm not a licensed practitioner, but I'm a life coach, a mindset coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it kind of goes back to what Dr. Trey said earlier. You know, it's about, you know, it's the way you perceive reality. You know, if you perceive things on a positive level, positive things will happen. You'll open up doors for positive things to happen. If you perceive the world as being a negative place, then negative things will happen. And I think what you're trying to do, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I think what you're trying to do is change the mindset of the individual for, you know, personal
Correct.
Achievement. Am I kind of –
Correct.
Am I close to – okay, all right, okay.
Correct.
So, Beth, this
right.
is Chris. I was sitting on this and I really want to ask it. So I think I may have some experience here. And you tell me if it's the same thing. But for years and years growing up and even into adulthood, I struggled with self-love. And a very, very dear friend and she is a counselor, had me start viewing myself as a child, like the child version of myself. And to this day, just summarizing here, I have a photo of myself, you know, from when I was maybe 2 or 3 years old, and it's taped to my computer monitor, and I am forced to look at that every day because you're not going to speak to yourself. You're less likely to speak to yourself in a negative way and be very cruel to yourself, as a lot of people do, if you're looking at yourself as a child, because, you know, all of us still have that child inside of us. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that has forced me to, you know, see myself in a different light, you know, and it's not there yet. It's a work in progress, but I feel like that is very, very similar to what you do. And you tell me if
yes.
it's, if it is.
It is, but I would take a different approach. I would
okay.
take that picture and
mm-hmm.
I would have you write what you love about yourself.
Gotcha.
And what you want to love about yourself. And
mm-hmm.
if that, I have all of mine taped to my computer. So if you tape them to the computer, you are going to see them. So yes, I would have you write I love, instead of I am, I would have you write I mm-hmm. love statements about yourself. Like, I love the way I run. I love the way I play
mm-hmm.
baseball. You know, and it's positivity. It's just flooding your body with positivity. And if you say that every day or write it every day, you can also write it. Writing, I think, is better because
mm-hmm.
psychologically it has something to it. But,
mm-hmm.
yes, I mean, I have certain scripts. I call them scripts, life scripts, that
mm-hmm.
I use. And I can tell you without a doubt that this method works.
That's fantastic. I am adding that. I am definitely going to do that.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that.
No problem.
Okay. This is Dr. John.
Anyone
I've
else?
Got a question. This is Dr. John. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
When I was first in graduate school, I was introduced to Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, which has truly been a cornerstone of my life. Are
Great
you
book.
Familiar with Are you familiar with who said that, Trey?
Yep. Great book.
It is. It's and he has like 14 steps. As I look at it now, there's like two or three really. And one is neurological. That's the training of the reticular activating system in the brain, which teach that that's the system that filters stuff out so that when you accept or you're part of 2 million bits of information per second, that you don't go crazy. But Ruthie, do you know much about Napoleon Hill? Because I just want to, if you don't, that's fine. But if you do, do you have any comment about how the Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich positive mental attitude stuff is related to what you do? It sounds like it's a good bit related.
Is he a motivational speaker? I'm not familiar with him.
Okay, Andrew Carnegie hired him in 1925 to find out why successful men were successful. And Napoleon Hill interviewed a couple thousand folks like the Rockefellers and all this stuff, and he came up with 14 principles. I tell you what, Ruthie, that's something I would love. Let me chat about that with you later. Napoleon Hill, he passed away in the 60s. He was incredible. So was Clement Stone, who wrote who's the big on the positive mental attitude stuff. Let me talk to you about that offline, because it sounds like this is some stuff that you might find worthwhile with what you're doing. Okay, so
absolutely.
Fair enough.
You're always learning. Absolutely. Fair
sure,
enough.
We sure are. Yeah. Doctorate means you're always learning. That's the truth, I believe. Okay, I'm sorry. I will turn it back over to Robin, because Robin is the captain of
well,
our ship tonight.
Not only for my own self, for information that I want to learn about it, but for our listeners, that's how, when you do these programs, how long of a program is this? Is this something that, you know, it doesn't just stop as the program stops? These are life lessons that you are not only being educated in during the sessions or the classes with you, but these are things that are life skills that are you're just going to take with you and carry on permanently.
They can do it. They can do a six-week sprint. You could do it 3 months, 6 months, a year. It just depends what your goals are, like how big your goals are. And I was going to say, and you use your reality to change your perspective. So it just depends. And I also ask them to set goals. Like, I want to be, let's say, a published author by the end of 2023. Well, if you keep saying it, you're going to be a published author.
That's amazing. Now, and then do you recommend that even, like, let's say somebody went to you and said, you know, Beth Ruthie, this is what I want to do. I want you to work with me, you know, educate me, help me in this process, and I want to do it on a 3 month session.
Okay.
Now, then do you encourage them that when the sessions are done, do you encourage them that just to continue this as they go through their life? Or at the end of 3 months, are they just done?
Oh, sorry. No, they're not done. I think they continue this for the rest of their life. Otherwise, negativity will get down into your paradigm. But it's your choice. It depends on how big your goal is. They can see me weekly. They can see me twice a week. They can, you know, or they can do a six-month process. And I don't use a cookie-cutter program per se. And mindset training is a cookie-cutter program. I try to take it and make it individualized for each person I work with. Did that answer your question?
I think that's so important, because we are not all the same. We have different thoughts, feelings, visions. Everything about us is different, and it's a complex situation. Like, there's no two that are the same. You can have two people look at the same object, and they will every time see different things. So I think it's really, really important with these programs that you do go that extra mile and you make it individualized. You know, it kind of makes your programs, I think, in my opinion, it would make your program stand out ahead of other people's just because you customize it for each individual person rather than just, per se, you know, have this paper that, you know, says, okay, you're going to do X, Y, Z, and once you get from A down to Z, then you're done. You know, where you're now creating the tools for them to change that reality based on them as a person and their own specific needs.
Yes, that's exactly it. And
I think that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, mindset training is normally just repetition of the same thing over and over and over again. I feel that that's not going to be relatable to the person. So I try to make it relatable to their life.
And I think that makes a big difference in if they can achieve it or not. Like, I really do. Like, if it's set up in a way that really doesn't have it based on your life as it is, it would be so random as far as the effectiveness of it, I would think it would be off.
Yes.
So I feel like that would be extremely important.
Yes. I trained horses for many, many years, and none of them were the same. And what I did, and this is my favorite thing to do, is I would get in their brains and figure them out, unlock the safe, open it up so that the horse likes to do what it's doing and is happy. If it's happy, it's going to perform well. So without getting into all the rest of horse training, I just try to get in people's heads, their brains, and just figure them out and create a program specifically for them. Like, I try to get in their heads. I try
I think that's amazing.
Figure them out. Yeah.
But I think I think that clients are going to appreciate that. Like, I feel like that's going to be one of your strongest assets for them because they aren't just one of the numbers. You know, individuals, they are unique, and when you do that particular program with, per se, that particular one, it is customized for them. It's not everybody, it's not like, okay, ditto, everybody's getting the same thing, you know, I'm going to pass all the cookies out to everybody. It's not like that. It's set up for them individually and their specific needs. So I think that's really impressive.
Yes, and they have courses out there. I'm actually taking one now just for informative purposes. And it teaches you about mindset and then about coaching people through mindset training. And I just kind of tweak it a little. I tweak it to match the what I think their brain needs the most. For example, Chris said that he has a problem loving himself. So he sees the picture of himself as a child, an innocent child, and he looks at that and he says, oh, I love myself, because that's what he's been saying over and over and over to himself by that picture. So it can be a picture, but and I know that Dr. Mulder uses a lot of pictures in his radionics machines, but that's basically what I do.
I think that's wonderful. And I really agree with Brad's take on the whole matrix.
Yes,
as
I love the matrix.
As far as a lot of the reality. Because I think that's so accurate. Like,
but
Pat, my husband, he says
that
all the time,
made?
Too.
Sorry.
That
movie
wasn't
made?
1989
or 1998?
Oh, no, it was a long time ago.
Really? Longer
I don't remember.
Than that? I've looked it up.
I don't think it was longer than that, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, The Matrix, I think, is an excellent movie. I think it's ahead of its time because people are just really getting into this mindset training now. And back then, they formed their opinion. I mean, The Matrix formed their opinion about what was reality. And I don't know if it just turned out to be right or someone was extremely smart and was way ahead of everyone else.
Well, it's really actually pretty fascinating.
Yes. I mean, the movie Matrix really opened my eyes. And, you know, with COVID, there are people out there that need help and need good help. And,
oh, yeah.
More than a cookie cutter program. They need help maybe in mindset training and life skills or mindset training and behavioral training. It can be both. Because I don't want to leave that part out. I don't want to leave the part that's, I'm going to say, broken for lack of a better word. I don't want to leave that broken part there. So if I see a part that is not really part of their paradigm, but let's say it's life skills, a child has to be able to tie his shoes. Well, not anymore because it's Velcro. But a child that has to tie their shoes is a life skill. If you can't tie your shoes, you know, it's like, can you crawl before you, like, can you walk before you crawl? Or do you have to crawl
it's all
before you
progression.
Walk? Right. Yes.
And I think that's important, too, that everything when you're changing your reality, it starts as a progression. You've got intent in there and all these other aspects of it to be able to manipulate, if you will, the reality to make it more comfortable and more worthwhile for you.
Yes, I don't think it's just, like if you've gone to a psychologist or if you've gone to a psychiatrist, it's just something that could be a continuation of those processes that they're using. And they're getting help on two levels. I mean, two levels are better than one. Two heads are better than one. So I think it's an important thing, and especially for younger people nowadays with COVID, because their life changed when they were still maturing. So these children cannot process things the way they should. And
so much depression with the whole COVID thing.
And
you know, I think people don't realize, and Trey would know more about this than I would, but when the whole COVID thing first hit and everybody was on lockdown, the depression people got from not being able to get out and be mobile and have contact with other humans, you know, was so extreme. And you would read every single day the mindset that they would find people in.
Yeah, and they need help. And some of them need affordable help. And I try to make my services very affordable so that I can really help the people that need it.
I am
an empath. So I want to nurture people and I want to make sure that they, like your kids going to college, make sure they have a good, solid start to be able to continue, not in a depressed state, but in a positive state. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
Yeah.
Very much.
You know, I mean, you want to be able to give people the tools to succeed, whereas they may only have tools to fail.
Correct.
So with the proper tools and the proper mindset, you know, what they can turn their reality into is limitless.
Correct.
Which
so,
is, you know, and radionics, you can do that with radionics as well.
Yes. I think that giving people skills they did not attain as a child is very important. I think that, I mean, I want to really focus on the younger generation because I feel like they need it the most. And I also do sports coaching. I was a trainer for a very long time. I trained not just horses, but I trained people on horses. So I know how to be a teacher. And I know what you should look like on a horse, what you should be doing on a horse, how your age needs to be invisible. So I take that and I apply that to life and make sure that these people have the skills at least of at least enough to go out on their own and be able to be a much happier person.
Wow, Ruthie, Beth, I'm sorry. That's very interesting. I tell you what, we got about 10 minutes left, and what I would like is for each of our ScaryCast hosts, co-hosts, to ask you a question and take about a minute to answer it. Would that be okay? Okay, great. I'm going to start with Robin, then we're going to go with Brad, then we're going to go with Trey, and then we're going to go with Chris. So, Robin, ask Ruthie a question she can answer in a minute about her approach and what she's doing.
Well, this isn't so much about the approach. I want people to know how they can get hold of her. How can they reach someone with her qualifications that has the potential to better themselves and better the reality that they live in?
I give a free 30-minute session so that they can actually try me out, like see what I can do. And in 30 minutes, I bet you I can change their perspective on things. And if they want to go forward, they go forward. And if they don't want to go forward, they don't go forward. But you could get in touch with me by going to BethRuthie.com. I'm sorry, there's just
That's
a bad storm going on here.
Beth Ruthie, R-U-T-H-I-E, correct?
Yes, dot com.
Now, don't you
Robin,
also have a Facebook page?
I do have a Facebook page. It's Beth Ruthie Mindset Zen, I think. But you just have to type in Beth Ruthie in the search bar and it'll come up.
Great. All right, Robin, you got a perfect answer to your question, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you, because Beth, we try to give good answers to our co-hosts. Dr. Brad, what is your question for Beth?
My question is, all right, I know everybody, you know, even though they may have a broad range of skills, they try to handle, you know, everything in a general sense, you know, whether it's, like you said, sports, you know, some kind of a
life,
phobia, yeah, or whatever. Okay. Now, my question is, from your practice, I mean, from what you've done, what do you think is your forte? I mean, the thing that you really, of all the things that you do, what do you think is like the cream of the crop? I mean, the top of the crown jewel of what you do.
I have always known that I am somewhat clairvoyant, but Robin is helping me with energy work, and I find that fascinating. And that doesn't go along with mindset training, but it's just something that people that want to do this have or they don't have. And it's pretty easy to tell if they're reading from a book or if they're just, you know, having a conversation. And back to Robin's point, I don't manipulate people.
That was a poor choice of word. You're not manipulating the people. You're teaching them how they can shift that paradigm and shift the reality. So I guess that was a poor choice of words because I didn't mean it that
you were manipulating people. Some mindset coaches manipulate people to get them to continue on with them.
Yeah.
So it is valid. And Dr. Mulder, did I answer your question?
Yes. So what is it out of all the things that you do? For 25 words or less, just so it's more clear, what is it do you think that one of your best things or one of the things that you feel like you're most skilled at when it comes to what you do?
I just mindset training, just working with people. I love working with people. I love helping people. And if I can help, just one person out there, it's one person.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, great. I think that was a good answer to Dr. Mulder's question. And thank you, Beth. All right. Dr. Trey Dunaway, what is your question for Beth?
Beth, of the mindset difficulties that you work with, what are some of the hardest mindsets to overcome?
Loving yourself, becoming, I just had to leave that room because the storm's getting really bad. I think I've just discovered the energy work, and I seem to be, like, once the floodgates were open, they were open. And energy work can help people also.
Okay.
She's absolutely brilliant at it. She's a quick study. it's an ability that she just automatically has it flow from her.
Yes, and I knew I had that ability, but I didn't know how to use it or unleash it or control it because you do have to control.
You just have to know how to tap into it.
Right. Right, exactly. And you've taught me very, very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love working with you. I do.
Thank you.
Dr. Trey, was that a good, straightforward answer to your question?
Sure. It was fine. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And Chris, do you have a question for Beth Ruthie?
I do. So just a very, very quick summary is fine, but I was wondering if you could give us an example of, and not to give out, private information or anything, but can you give us an example of one of your clients that has, gone through your program and, what have they overcome? What are they successful with now? How did they change their reality?
I'm just starting my mindset business. So I do not have an answer question, but I know myself because I've gone through mindset training.
Gotcha.
All right. Chris, did you get a good answer?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, I tell you what, Beth, thank you so much for being with us. We have enjoyed this. Robin, thank you. I'm going to give you and Dr. Mulder credit for getting Beth to us because I think Dr. Mulder, am I correct? You introduced Beth to Robin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, you are correct. I pretty much gave you my entire Rolodex there, Dr. John, and you've taken full advantage of it.
That makes me nervous.
That's great. And I'd say thank you so much. We've enjoyed it. And now, Robin, since you have been doing some scheduling on behalf of ScaryCast, who's coming up next week?
Let me look and I will tell you. We've got a good list coming up. I'm really excited. And we will see. So on the 26th, no, that's today, we have John Dixon next week.
Oh, my gosh. So John Dixon was absolutely phenomenal at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. He is a great orator.
He did a great job. Great job.
Well, that's great. And, look, I'm glad we got him next week. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful speaker. And so we're going to have a wonderful time next week. So I wanted to say thanks to all of the ScaryCasters for being with us tonight. We'll be back same bat time, same bat channel. And Beth, thank you so much. And it's BethRuthie.com, or go to Facebook and type in Beth Ruthie, R-U-T-H-I-E, correct?
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, look, thank you for being with us, and we have ended right before Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. So thanks a lot, and everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Beth.
Bye.